Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who does indeed give us the confidence, the unshakable confidence of knowing that through faith in him, physical death is indeed the doorway to eternal life in heaven. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, what is the worst storm that you have encountered in your life? Do you remember that question from last Sunday's sermon? Last Sunday, as we looked at how Jesus calmed the storm on the Sea of Galilee by simply speaking the words, "Quiet, be still," we saw that Jesus not only has the power and the authority to calm any storm that we encounter in our life, but he also has the love that leads him to promise us that he will be with us through all the storms that we encounter. Today, God the Holy Spirit focuses our attention on one of, if not the most powerful storm we encounter in life, death. Death has been called the great equalizer. No matter how prosperous and how powerful a person might be, no matter how poor and pitiful a person might be, someday, each and every single person, including each and every single one of us, will die unless the Lord Jesus returns to this earth first. Now, many people, especially today, I think, many people fear death. Some people are afraid of death because they're afraid that it's simply the end. They are afraid that their entire existence is going to be snuffed out like a candle. Other people fear death because their conscience tells them that it is not the end. They are afraid that what comes next is some kind of reckoning, some kind of accountability that may not go so well for them. Even we, as the children of God, sometimes we might have just a tinge of fear when we think about death, not because we don't know what comes next, not because we are afraid of standing before our God, but because even though we have seen death, we have never experienced death. We simply don't know when or where or how we are going to die. Today, God the Holy Spirit takes away any and all fear of death by having his servant Mark proclaim this amazing truth from our amazing God. The living Lord completely changes our view of death. The events that are recorded here in our text for today follow the events that were recorded in last Sunday's text by just a few days. Jesus had traveled to the eastern side of the Sea of Galilee. As soon as he arrived, he was confronted by a man who was possessed by an entire legion of demons. Jesus commanded those demons to leave the man, and then he allowed those demons to go into a herd of pigs, which then rushed down the hill into the lake and were drowned. The people who saw Jesus do this were so afraid of his power, so afraid of his authority, that they asked him to leave their region. So he went back to Capernaum. There in Capernaum, Jesus healed a paralytic. He called Matthew to be one of his disciples, and he accepted Matthew's invitation to come to Matthew's house for dinner, where we are told many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. During the time that followed Jesus' acceptance of Matthew's invitation, the events recorded in our text for today took place. Mark tells us, when Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him. While he was by the lake, then one of the synagogue rulers, named Jairus, came there. Seeing Jesus, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. As one of the synagogue rulers, Jairus held a very important and a very honored position among God's people. And yet, since many of the religious leaders really didn't have much time and were not exactly supportive of Jesus and his ministry, we might wonder, how did Jairus know that there was only one person who had the power, only one person who had the authority to help his daughter who was dying? Think about it. Jairus may have been there in the synagogue in Capernaum when Jesus spoke in that synagogue as one who had authority and not as the teachers of the law. Perhaps someone told Jairus about how Jesus had healed Peter's mother-in-law as she lay sick in bed with a fever. Perhaps Jairus watched very closely as people from all over town gathered outside of Peter's house, where we are told Jesus healed many who had various diseases and drove out many demons. And perhaps there were people who were still talking about how Jesus calmed that furious storm on the Sea of Galilee by simply speaking the words, "Quiet, be still." Well, we don't know exactly how Jairus came to believe and trust that Jesus of Nazareth had the power, that Jesus of Nazareth had the authority to help his daughter. We can hear his faith in that earnest plea that he brought to Jesus. "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." Without hesitation, Jesus lovingly agreed to go with Jairus. But there were some complications and difficulties along the way. The crowd pressed all around Jesus and slowed his progress. Then there was that woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She reached out and touched the edge of Jesus' cloak, believing and trusting that all she had to do was touch his cloak and she would be healed, and she was. This, however, prompted Jesus to stop. He turned around and he was talking, and then he had a conversation with this poor woman. While this probably only took a few minutes, imagine what may have been going through the heart and the mind of Jairus. "Time is of the essence. Make way for us to continue traveling on. We must hurry before it's too late." And then it was too late. Before they reached Jairus' house, Mark tells us, while Jesus was still speaking, some men came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Before those words even had a chance to sink in, before Jairus could even wrap his mind around what he had just heard, Mark goes on to say, ignoring what they said, Jesus told the synagogue ruler, "Don't be afraid. Just believe. Don't be afraid. Just believe." That is the amazing truth that our amazing God proclaims to us when we are in a situation where we are easily overwhelmed by shock, by grief, and by sorrow. Think about it, my friends. When we are in a situation where we want to bring comfort to someone whose loved one has just died, all too often we resort to saying something like, "I'm so sorry for your loss," or "I'll keep you in my prayers." Sometimes when we are in a situation like that, we don't even know what to say. And so we quietly and gently give them a big hug. From our perspective, death is so overwhelming. Death is so powerful. Death is so final that whatever we say and whatever we hear falls so far short, I knew it was in there, falls so very short of what we need. Jesus, however, changes our view of death by saying to us, "Don't be afraid, just believe." But how? How could Jesus speak those words to a father who had just been told that his little daughter is dead? because as the Son of the Most High God, as the Messiah who came into this world with the goal of dying on a cross to pay for our sins, as the Lord who knew that he would appear to his fear-filled disciples in that locked room on Easter Sunday and say to them, "Peace be with you," as the living Lord, Jesus knew the truth that Jairus was about to learn. The child is not dead, but asleep. That amazing truth is brought out very clearly in verses 40 through 43 of our text. After he put them all out, that is, all the professional mourners who had gathered together in the house of Jairus, after he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him, Peter, James, and John, and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately, the girl stood up and walked around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. Do not overlook the tenderness that Jesus showed both to this little girl as well as to her parents. Jairus had asked Jesus to come and lay his hands on his little daughter so that she would be healed. Instead, Jesus tenderly took her hand in his and then spoke those powerful words, "Talitha kum," little girl, I say to you, get up. The impact of Jesus' words was immediate. In that instant, death was conquered. In that instant, the fear and the grief and the shock of her parents was conquered. And then Jesus' tenderness continues by tenderly reminding Jairus and his wife that after having been in bed ill, their little daughter was probably hungry. So he said to them, "Give her something to eat." Such amazing tenderness, coupled together with such amazing power, gives us an amazing reason to praise our amazing God. Don't be afraid. Just believe. While this may be the first time that Jesus spoke those words when he came face to face with death, it certainly would not be the last time that he put those words into action, isn't it? Remember when Jesus came to the little town of Nain? A widow was going out preparing to bury her only son. Jesus tenderly said to her, "Don't cry." Then he spoke those powerful words to her son, "Young man, I say to you, get up." And what happened? Luke tells us, the man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. Remember when Jesus' friend Lazarus died? Jesus had told his disciples, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up." When Jesus arrived at Bethany, he found out that Lazarus had been in his tomb for 4 days. And yet, what did Jesus do? He told them to remove the stone from the entrance of the tomb, and then he called out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." And what happened? Lazarus came walking out of his tomb. Remember how Jesus told his disciples on more than one occasion that it was necessary for him to go to Jerusalem because it was necessary for him to suffer and die and to rise again from the dead. And what happened? Jesus was betrayed by a friend. Jesus was beaten and mocked and whipped and scourged. Jesus suffered and died on a cross on a hill outside of Jerusalem. And then on the third day, Jesus physically rose from the dead to guarantee, absolutely guarantee, that one day we too shall rise from the dead. Because our Lord is the living Lord, he can and does tenderly say to us, "Don't be afraid. Just believe." Because our Lord is the living Lord, he does and can guarantee to us that physical death is but a sleep from which one day he himself will wake us up. Don't be afraid. Just believe. The child is not dead, but asleep. The tender words that Jesus spoke to Jairus so many years ago are the very same words that he speaks to us right down to this very day. Most, if not all of us, have been to the funeral of someone we love. A parent, a spouse, a child, a friend. If the only words that we hear are from people who try to comfort us by saying, "I'm so sorry for your loss," or "I'll keep you in my prayers," then it might seem as though the power of sin is overwhelming, and the finale, or the power of death is overwhelming, and the finality of death is oppressive. Praise God that if and when you find yourself in a situation where you are trying to comfort someone whose loved one has died, you can share with them the amazing truth that your living Lord has revealed to you. Point them to the cross on Calvary's Hill. Assure them that as the true Son of God and the true Son of Man, Jesus is the only one who knows exactly what they are going through. Assure them that as the true Son of God and the true Son of Man, Jesus is the only one who has the power to wake us up from the sleep of death, which is exactly what he is going to do on Judgment Day. Don't be afraid. Just believe. Your loved one is not dead, but asleep. Be the person through whom Jesus proclaims that amazing truth to people today. Don't be afraid. Just believe. Death is only asleep. When you wake up, you will be with Jesus in the glory and the perfection of his heavenly home. That is the amazing truth that we also need to stay focused on when we come to the end of our journey here on this earth. While we thank the family and friends who gather around us for all the love and the support and the joy and the happiness and the blessings that they brought into our life, Jesus is the only one who has the power and the authority to tenderly take us by the hand and say, "Don't be afraid, just believe." Realize that this miracle, the miracle of life over death, is not something that was recorded in the Bible simply because it happened long ago and in a faraway place. This account was recorded for you. This account is recorded so that you might know that Jesus Christ has the power over death. To you, Jesus says, "Don't be afraid, just believe." The same Lord who lived his life perfectly, fulfilling all the requirements of the law so that you could be freed from the curse of the law. The very same Lord who defeated any and all the temptations of Satan himself so that you could live your life in peace and hope and joy and happiness. The same Lord who suffered and died for you on the cross of Calvary's Hill is the same Lord who now says to you, "Don't be afraid, just believe." Turn to him, call on him. Trust in the one who has the power, the authority, and the love to say to you, "Because I live, you also will live." Death has indeed been called the great equalizer. No matter how prosperous and powerful a person might be, no matter how poor and pitiful a person might be, unless the Lord Jesus returns first, each and every person, including each and every one of us, will die. Praise God. Praise God that because of what our living Lord has done for us, praise God that because of what our living Lord freely gives to us, praise God that we have the faith that enables us to embrace that amazing truth proclaimed to us today. The living Lord changes our perspective on death. To God be the glory. Amen. Please rise.